Let's stay on the McLaren Health Plan phone line and talk with Jan Ellis. She's a spokesperson for the Michigan Department of Education. Good morning, Jan. How are you?
Hi, Tony. Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. For those of us who aren't sure what the Michigan Department of Education does, explain that.
Well, the Michigan Department of Education provides a lot of policy guidance and support to school districts and schools across the state. We are governed in large part by a state board of education that's publicly elected and who hires our state superintendent.
And a big report came out yesterday, the Adequate Yearly Progress Report, the AYP, was made available. What is this report?
Well, that's a good question. When you're measuring progress of Michigan students, basically there are several different ways to do it. One is through state assessments like the MEEP, which is for elementary and middle school students, and the MME, or the Michigan Merit Exam, for high school students. And that kind of shows how students are doing as far as proficiency at a basic level of what we think they should know and be able to do. The federal government has a law called No Child Left Behind, and it requires that schools show adequate yearly progress, that not only students are making progress in terms of proficiency on state tests, but also how schools are making gains in attendance and graduation and even the number of students taking the test. So that's what was released yesterday.
And this report that was released takes a lot of different factors there's a lot of different information that allows them to make the assessment, and a lot of information is broken down, whether it's the race of the students, where they're located, if they participate in school, what the attendance is like, what the graduation rates are like, and so on and so forth.
Well, that's exactly right, and it even goes beyond that, where it like you had kind of alluded to, that what we want to make sure of is that every student is progressing and every group of students is progressing. So that takes a look at that as well.
How did Michigan do?
Michigan, there's good news. We had, for the third straight year, more schools making adequate yearly progress overall. Our percentage rose from 80% in 2007-08 to 86% this last year. And more high schools are making adequate yearly progress. Matter of fact, they showed the highest gain, where they almost doubled in the past 3 years of the number that are showing major progress. So I thought it was, pretty good news. In addition, the number of schools that were not doing very well decreased. So in all, it's a good report card. Certainly we still have room to go, because this measures proficiency of students at a more of a basic level, and we want to make sure that every child is college and career ready. But it's good news overall.
We're talking with Jan Ellis from the Michigan Department of Education, and we're talking about the AYP report on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. Well, Michigan as a whole did well. How did we fare in mid-Michigan?
Well, in mid-Michigan, I think that the schools did very well, too. On average, most of the schools and districts made adequate yearly progress in the area. And, I think that they're moving in the right direction. There are still pockets of schools or pockets of students in schools that still need to increase their performance. But in general, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I noticed that East Lansing and Grand Ledge went a little backwards, but they still had pretty significantly positive grades.
They did. And, the difficulty with any of these kind of assessments is that some of the measurements are a single snapshot of how students perhaps are doing in a particular day and time if you're looking at their performance. It's one indicator of many that parents should look at. It certainly is never intended to be the only.
So many success stories, Williamston, Pomona, Westphalia, Okemos, Ithaca, Hazlitt, Fowler, DeWitt, among the schools that had A grades in 2009 and A grades in 2010.
That's correct. There's some good news, and schools and teachers are really working very hard to ensure that all students are learning.
Now, Jan, there is a school that is near and dear to my heart. I don't live in the city any longer, but I worked in Lansing Eastern High School. I worked in that building for 5 years. There are challenges there that a lot of schools don't face when it comes to the numbers of kids in that building that are living in poverty or just above poverty, that are living in single-parent homes, that are living in situations where they don't have the adult or parental supervision that they need. And, of course, that is going to affect how they perform in school. And Lansing Eastern took a big hit when looking at the AYP goal.
Well, you're absolutely right, Tony. I mean, certainly all of those things that you just listed are important factors in looking at how a school is doing and whether or not, in general, the socioeconomic status of students and their parents' education level are big indicators of how students are going to be doing in those schools. That doesn't mean that all students can't succeed. It just means that schools need to be aware of that and provide the, number one, identify students right away when they're having trouble, and number two, provide the supports and interventions that are needed to try and turn that around. And in most cases, if they have the students identified and provide the right supports, they can help.
So what does this mean? This could be trouble for Eastern High School.
I think that they understand what the problems are and are going to work very hard at resolving those.
Okay. Is there some type of probation or some type of challenge that they will have to face because of this?
Well, under No Child Left Behind, there are definite consequences for school buildings that don't make adequate yearly progress for more than 2 years in a row. They need to provide choice and transportation to students into another school if they want. They have to write a school improvement plan that shows how they're going to make progress. They have to use a certain percentage of federal funds targeted towards professional development of their teachers to make sure that the way they're teaching the students is adequate to meet the student needs. It could involve mentoring. There's a whole level of sanctions that are attached to schools not making adequate yearly progress. But there also are a lot of supports that go along with that as well. So, for example, you know, if a school isn't making adequate yearly progress for several years, you know, we actually send teams of people in. We spend, you know, we provide and conduct comprehensive audits. We send principals to leadership coach institutes. We do a whole variety of support mechanisms to really help the whole system in the school improve so that student achievement improves.
Jan, I think a key factor in helping Lansing Eastern with this goes way beyond what's happening there now in that building. I think that maybe they ought to look at getting into the elementary schools and changing the culture there in trying to build relationships and engaging parents then at that age and getting these students to start thinking about grades and positive work habits before they get to high school and maybe as early as elementary school.
And Tony, you know, really it even goes before that. You know, it's critical those first few years of life that children are engaged in learning activities. So when they come to school, they're ready to learn. And then it's important that parents are actively involved and that the school does a good job reaching out to parents so they don't act as a barrier to them. Because parent involvement and their support for young children, actually children of all ages and even as adults, we need our support of parents. And children just do better. And so you're absolutely right. That's an important factor.
Well, Jan, I know you can't speak for the Lansing School District, but I wonder if programs like that that you're speaking of going be, you know, even before the elementary school program, you can't just send home a flyer or an email. Do you know, are there efforts out there to make phone calls or to stop by houses and say, hey, we've got a challenge here, or hey, you're on the right track, we need you engaged. Are there efforts like that being made?
Well, I know that every school district in the state has different sets of programs. They're not mandated programs. And so what each one does is a little bit different. But most school districts have programs to engage parents. Whether or not they go to the individual home or exactly the level of support that they give parents or encouragement they give parents is all across the board. And certainly that's an important component that every school needs to work on.
All right, Jan, thanks so much for your time. What are you going to be working on next at the Department of Education?
Well, we have a busy schedule. We have a variety of things that are coming up as far as, you know, announcements in the future about some of the lowest performing schools and what we're going to be doing with them. We have the beginning of a new school year, which is a great opportunity for schools to look at what they're doing and to put in new supports for students. We have the state superintendent's dropout challenge, which he is encouraging all schools and districts to be part of to identify and use something called early warning signs, which are really accurate predictors of when students are going to drop out of school. And they start in elementary school, if you can believe this. So these indicators are important to look at and use and then provide, again, the students that are identified with multiple early warning signs some supports that so to overcome those.